Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Digitally Downloaded podcast. I'm Matt Sainsbury, the editor-in-chief of digitallydownloaded.net. And with me this week, we have a whole bunch of people. We have Harvard. Hello, Harvard.
Hello, everyone.
We have Matt. Hello, Matt.
Hello.
And we have Ginny.
Hey, hey, how's it going?
All good. Everybody having a good week? Everybody playing lots of games?
A lot of games. Too many games.
Yeah. So much for December being the quiet month.
I know.
It's ridiculous. It's just insane.
I've been playing a lot of Skyforce.
Yes, we know. We don't quite know why. We don't quite know why.
Neither do I. It's just a lot of fun. I don't even know why.
It hits you with that like compulsive gaming thing where like you just got one more upgrade and one more level and then just locked forever until you're done.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah. Anyway, we'll listen to some Miku music and then we'll get going with the podcast as usual. This week's Miku track is, I can't even pronounce it, Nya 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 Nya, something like that. Anyway, it's fun and enjoy. And welcome back. Okay, so this week, I guess the big bit of news that happened, or a lot of news that happened anyway, was the Game Awards. We've already talked about the awards themselves, but as part of that, they obviously get a whole lot of announcements, and it's kind of the end of year chance for game developers to really get out what they're working on. And this year, there was some pretty cool stuff announced, I think. Nintendo had a good one, especially. They always seem to support this awards quite strongly. I guess it's because they don't really have much to do with Tokyo Game Show or Paris Game Week. So this is kind of the end of year chance to get in front of people. And yeah, there was, I guess for me, the biggest announcement was that Bayonetta 1 and 2 is coming to the Switch as a pack, which is neat. For people who didn't get a chance to play Bayonetta 2 on the Wii U because nobody owned a Wii U, Bayonetta 2 is actually a really bloody good game, so it's going to be awesome on Switch. They also announced that there's a Bayonetta 3 in development exclusively for Switch, making it, I guess, Nintendo's kind of adults-only franchise that's, you know, really quite good. I know you're a big fan of Bayonetta, Matt. Are you looking forward to Bayo 3?
Yep.
That's a very good answer.
Yeah, I don't know why I wouldn't be. It should be good, and I guess I will have to buy a Switch.
Yay!
Oh, that's right. You don't even have one. There you go.
I don't have one. I keep getting more and more reasons to buy a Switch, but not more and more money with which to buy one. So if anyone feels like buying me a Switch,
can we crowdfund one for you?
Yep.
Yeah, set up a GoFundMe.
Yeah.
And we'll promote it through the podcast. Yeah.
I'm sure you'll get so much sympathy.
Yeah.
But yeah, Bayonetta 3 will be surely, you know, a compelling reason for a lot of people to buy a Switch finally. I don't know why they might have held out for after Zelda and Mario and Fire Emblem Warriors and all that. I'm sure Bayonetta would be the one that tips them over the edge because, mm-hmm. yeah. It's going to be a great game, I'm sure.
Bayonetta is very good at tipping people over the edge.
Yeah.
Especially if you buy the Endless Climax Edition.
I'm a little bit miffed that we still haven't got Tokyo Mirage Sessions FE Switch port announced. I mean, there's been rumors of Xenoblade Chronicles X getting a Switch port because the developer would like to do that, and that's a terrible game, and why they haven't done... Tokyo Mirage Sessions because that's the best game on the Switch. I don't know.
Best game on the Wii U, you mean?
No. Oh, yeah. Best game on the Wii U. It will be the best game on the Switch if it comes out on the Switch.
Yeah.
It will be, for sure. It's a great game. Yeah, it's a really great game, and not enough people played it. So it and probably Fatal Frame or Project Zero 5 are the two that we haven't got announcements on or rumors of or anything. And those are the two I desperately want to play again without having to dust off the Wii U because it's in storage now. What else was announced? A silly motorbike for Zelda. I don't know why.
He means the Zelda DLC for the Champion's Ballad, not just the motorbike.
All I saw was this bloody gif of a motorbike and I'm like, yep, everyone's Zelda, okay, move on.
But then just come on with a slideshow of like a single motorbike picture and go, here you go, guys, this is the DLC.
Just imagine like motorbike Link meepos and
everything's
ruined.
That'd be nice.
I'm pretty sure now after that, Warner Brothers is going to give Smeagol a tank in the Lord of the Rings game. Because why not? Exactly. That seems like nonsense to me, so I'll pass on talking about that anymore. What else was announced? There was Death Standing. I think people are looking forward to that, even if it's weirding them out like hell. Kojima is, he's very good at doing the pretentious crappy art thing.
Oh my god. Full of criticism this morning.
Everywhere this morning.
Everyone loves the pretentious crappy art thing when Kojima does it, but not when anyone else does it.
Yeah, that's kind of my point. Matt summarized it well.
It was quite weird that, that Kojima's Mpreg Vor baby got a lot of applause, but people were like, oh, Nier Automata, that's way too wanky for me. Like, that was just such a bizarre moment.
Yeah.
I don't know.
There's one show where, like, Kojima had this light-up staircase and he just descended from the heavens and everyone applauded until he got to the bottom. I love that he just made that status about him now.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's an odd duck, that guy. I'm sure it'll be good and stuff. I don't think Kojima necessarily deserves the plaudits that he gets from everybody for being this great artist when there are other better artists out there working and getting criticized for the stuff they do. Because let's not forget, until Nier Automata came out, nobody knew who Yoko Taro was, and he's a far better artist than Kojima ever was, as far as I'm concerned. But, yeah, I'm sure people like Death Standing. It does have the bad dude from Casino Royale in it. I can't remember Mads Mikkelsen.
The next trailer is just going to be like a naked motion capture.
He's pretty cool.
Like, the way it's been going. They're going to cross that line. It's going to be Norman Reedus giving birth to Mads Mikkelsen.
The worst part of that is imagine the motion capture technology that's going to have to be used on a naked person. Like,
oh. Beautiful.
Yeah, where the dots so have beautiful. To go.
This is what you have to do when you're making art. You need to suffer for your art, Harvard.
Sounds very uncomfortable.
Yeah, those motion capture little dots things that they stick all over the body. That's going to be really interesting once they start doing nudity. But yeah, that's a big announcement that was dominating my Twitter feed. I wasn't actually able to watch the Game Awards as it was going on, so I was just kind of following it along on Twitter. And when Death Standing happened, Twitter melted down. So
yeah,
it wasn't even an announcement. It was just
An extra hype trailer, I think.
Another like weird 10-minute long trailer.
Yeah,
I will say I like how they're kind of implying that it's going to get a release in 2018, and it's like, it's a Kojima game. It'll be lucky if it's PS6, a PS6 game at this stage.
Yeah.
So yeah, we've got a long way to wait for that one. Speaking of games, we've probably got a while to wait for. From Software teased their next project, and anybody who likes the Souls games is obviously going to get very hyped for this. I don't know when we'll find out more about it, probably next year at some stage. But yeah, anything From Software is working on is good. And it's good to know that From Software is still working, because they've been quiet for a little while now. They're not just on a holiday, they're actually doing something, which is good.
Yeah, one announcement that I'm looking forward to is a game called A Way Out, which seemed
interesting. So tell me about this one, Matt, because, I didn't see it yet. So
it's sort of like a co-op narrative adventure type game where the idea is that you play through the whole game with a friend, but you each control one character, and it's these two guys who meet in prison and then figure out a way to escape, and stuff happens from there. But you're each just basically role-playing as one character.
So like Prison Break the game?
Yeah.
I guess so. I've never watched Prison Break, but I guess so.
Okay.
But it seems from watching the trailer, it seemed quite conceptually interesting, but I was a little bit unsure until I found out that it's being developed by the guy who wrote and directed Brothers, A Tale of Two Sons.
Oh, okay, that's much more interesting. Yeah.
So he's basically taken a bunch of the people who worked on that game and created a new studio, and this is what they're working on. And so I think if anyone can do that kind of interesting co-op narrative experience, well, it'll be these guys. So
yeah, amen.
Cool. Sure, that sounds good. I'll have to go and check the trailer out, I guess, now.
It's hard to describe, but I think the trailer shows off well what to expect, and it's going to be, if it works well, I think it'll be a really interesting concept in exploring the ways that games can tell stories.
Sure. All right, Harvard, your pick of the show. What are you most keen about?
So Firewatch devs have announced a new game called In the Valley of Gods, and it looks like this exploration title set in what looks to be Egypt. So it'll be interesting, because Firewatch was actually a really well-received walking simulator. It kind of dodged all the criticism that the genre gets, because it had more exploration to it. It was more open, and so you had your own little waypoints, and your part of the game was trying to figure out where to go, and that journey was really well captured. So hopefully moving it to a different setting might make it something a bit more interesting. I don't know. But also, I remember this week, Matt linked a great article from Waypoint about the use of Egypt in game settings, and it'll be interesting to see how this one plays around with it, because we have had Assassin's Creed Origins come by and just write the textbook on it, and so hopefully we get to see more interesting things done with the setting, and it's not just something tokenistic.
Yeah, sure, for sure. And Ginny, have you got anything to add from the game show that we might have missed so far? Is there anything that's kind of stood out for you? That
we already announced Bayonetta. That is probably the one that I am the most pumped for, because Bayonetta is an icon. She is amazing.
How does she fit to your family, Ginny?
I didn't at one time make the mistake of tweeting Bayonetta is my mom. So that's probably where this has come from. But you know, like a motherly figure, someone that I can look up to is what I mean. Not someone who is literally biologically related to me. Putting it out there, I know Bayonetta looks very sort of ethnically ambiguous and could be Asian like me. But I mean, Bayonetta is a true icon. Okay, she's a strong woman who doesn't take any crap from anybody, and she is incredibly fit and great at killing things. Now, all those elements sound very strange, in terms of what you'd aspire to. But I sort of mean that Bayonetta has been a character that I think has been represented always very sexually. But she hasn't really been received by, she hasn't been received by others in a necessarily, she hasn't really been received in a way that objectifies her, if that makes sense. Like Bayonetta's sexiness is like a part of her character, but also part of her power. And so I think, well, obviously the people out there that look at her and go, oh great, it's a woman in leather. I feel like the majority of Bayonetta fans sort of, I think, realize that Bayonetta's sexuality is not something that can be used to degrade her with. And I don't know, but I feel like she's been received very well in that sense compared to more traditional heroes like Lara Croft, for example, who has copped a short end of the stick despite being a literal, running, jumping, tomb raiding goddess. I feel like Bayonetta is sort of the standard. She kind of proves that you can represent female characters sexually, have them be powerful, have them have agency, and that's very important. So that's why I think Bayonetta is my mom / my idol. And I'm really looking forward to like Bayonetta 3 at the Switch when it comes out, probably like a year and a half.
So yeah, it is interesting that I think that's a very Japanese thing, the way that Bayonetta's sexuality is kind of presented, the Japanese feminist kind of thing that, the sexuality is part of their agency and their power. And it's a very different way of looking at it compared to, I guess, the West. I think when Bayonetta was new, there was a lot of criticism in the West about that portrayal of the character, but I think people are becoming more accommodating of it. I think other characters that come along, they kind of reinforce it, like 2B from Nier Automata. She's very similar, I guess. Mm-hmm. I think there's an acceptance coming into the industry that you can represent female characters that way without objectifying them necessarily. So that's a good thing. And we can thank Bayonetta for a lot of that. And then I don't know if I necessarily want her as a mother figure. I did watch the anime and I don't think she was a particularly great mother. But,
you know. Never met my mother, no.
See, it's going to be a good year for those kind of action games because Devil May Cry is also getting remastered, I think, which is cool. I'm a big fan of Dante. He's like my dad, I guess.
Devil May Cry remastered. Yes. Which one are they remastering?
No, I think they're porting the 3 as a HD collection to PS4, which is good.
Okay.
So, yeah, you'll be able to buy all 3 of them because I don't think 1 and 2 are currently available on modern platforms. I don't think actually 1, 2, or 3. I don't think the first 3 are. I know the 4th is, or DMC, which was a very controversial one. But anyway, the other 3 will be available on modern platforms for the first time next year. So that's a good thing.
You know if they'll be on Switch?
I don't know. I don't think that's
going to be. It'd be good to have both our mum and our dad on one console.
For Christmas 2018.
So now we do know we do need to get those Capcom and Sega to talk and create a crossover where Bayonetta and Dante can work together and
race children.
Yeah, race children.
Yeah, cheeky Sonic crossover, Sonic cameo in the background.
Yeah, Sonic could be a child. What? I mean.
But speaking of action games, the next bit of music we've got this week is from Knights of Azure 2, which is more JRPG than just pure action, I guess. But it also has great characters and motherly figures, I guess, in a way. Maybe not. Maybe not. That's maybe stretching it. But we do have good music, and listen and enjoy, and we'll be back with some more soon. And welcome back. So one of the announcements that we kept from talking about in the first section that was made at the Game Awards was Soul Calibur 6, because we wanted to talk about fighting games more generally as well for this week's podcast. And yeah, Soul Calibur 6 is obviously a very big announcement. People have been waiting a long time for a new Soul Calibur game. I would suggest that people have probably been waiting for a good Soul Calibur game since Soul Calibur 2, but you know, so be it. Yes, it should be good. I don't know too much more about it at this stage. I think it's going to be a while before we get a whole bunch of details, but weapons-based 3D fighter should be fun. Does anybody, I mean, I assume at least one of you also likes Soul Calibur, or at least like Soul Calibur 2 before the series went to crap?
Yep, I'm assuming we've all played it as well.
I'm actually a bit too young for it. I didn't come around. Well, didn't come around once I was a kid.
Not the original Soul Calibur, but
you've never played Soul Calibur 2, have you?
Not played any Soul Calibur game.
Wow! Wow! That's blown my mind. I thought everyone had.
Yeah.
I thought it was like Star Wars. Everybody's played a Soul Calibur game.
It's like collective silence and horror from the rest of the team. Yeah.
I just don't know how to process that information, Harvard.
I think you'd like them, Harvard.
Yeah.
Soul Calibur 2.
Not even Soul Calibur 4 or 5?
No, I don't know.
You can skip those because they're not very good.
But... Yeah, they're not good, but I mean, they kind of came out at the time that I played Soul Calibur 4 first.
You've got an iPhone, right, Harvard, or a mobile device of some type?
Is it on a smartphone?
Yeah, I was just about to say, I'm pretty sure Soul Calibur 2 is still on. I'm just checking on my iPad now. Ooh. I played it. I don't know if it's still there, but I did play it.
I have a thing against fighting games on smartphones, but look it up.
I think Soul Calibur 2 got ported to PS4.
It's also PS3.
Oh.
Yeah, there's a HD version of Soul Calibur 2 on PS3. It doesn't look like it's there anymore.
They ported it to Xbox 360 as well, didn't they?
Oh, that might be what I'm thinking of.
Look at all these platforms they don't own.
I played it on the Xbox. I'm pretty sure that's where I played it, Xbox 360.
Mm-hmm. You know what I could do? I could probably get the old disc and dig out my old original Xbox. That'll be
the original experience.
Yeah. Classic experience.
Anyway, it's a really good game, and you really should play it, Harvard. It's one of the classic fighting games. It's right up there with the very best, and... It's fast, it's fluid, it's got good characters, I think, for the most part.
Yeah.
Sofiti is pretty cool. Anyway, she's the best. Oh, no, Talim. Talim's the best. I like Talim. She's so cool. But yeah, that should be good. I don't know terms of what other fighting games are on the horizon next year.
Give it a week or two. The Last Blade is coming to the Switch.
Ooh.
Oh, okay.
Interesting.
You'll enjoy that, Matt.
Will I?
Mm.
Yep.
If you've never played it, the scenario is actually written by the guy who wrote Deadly Premonition.
Yes.
Yeah. It's set in the same kind of era of Japan that Rurouni Kenshin and
Hakuoki,
all that other stuff. Shinsengumi.
Shinsengumi, after Japan got cultured by America.
I don't think there's any American characters there, but
it
explores that era well, and it's got this a much more serious story than what you'd expect from a fighting game, and it's just it's like the peak of the Neo Geo fighting game era.
I'll check it out for sure. But yeah, I mean, looking at modern fighting games, we had Tekken 7 obviously come out this year. We don't know. There was an Injustice game that came out this year. We don't really know where Mortal Kombat's at, so I don't think we'll see one of those next year.
We're all right without that.
I actually like Mortal Kombat.
I think we'll be fine.
I like Mortal Kombat. I find it like the violence version of Dead or Alive. It's kind of nonsense and violence version of Dead or Alive. It's nonsense and fun, and it's quite. You know, it takes the B grade kind of. Bullshittery and really plays with it. So I'm actually a big fan of Mortal Kombat over the years. Not so much the gameplay, but the actual setting and tone and theme of it, I quite like. So I wouldn't mind another one, but I don't think we'll see one in 2018. We obviously won't see a new Tekken, and we've got Soul Calibur to look forward to. We don't know where my favourite series, Dead or Alive, is at. I imagine we'll probably get an announcement of Dead or Alive 6 next year, because I do know that there won't be another season pass for the DLC costumes, so they'll have to announce something.
Yeah, right.
And I imagine it'll be a new one, which would be good. I'm looking forward to that, but that won't come out next year. So it should be a quiet year for fighting games in 2018.
Is Dragon Ball FighterZ?
Ooh, oh, there is yes. that one, yes.
Comes out in there is that. January, actually.
Yeah.
Which is good.
Because that's by the Guilty Gear guys, right?
Yep. And it's so basically...
It'll be the same engine, but with, like, Dragon Ball FighterZ.
Yeah.
Are they going to do a Naruto one?
I hope not, but maybe.
Because, I mean...
I've never really gotten into either the Dragon Ball or the Naruto games. I think the issue is that the fighting in those series is so exaggerated and, like, big and dynamic that... Translating, like, every developer seems to want to make it the same in the game, so you can, like, punch people into cliffs and teleport behind them and do ridiculous combos.
Which is,
it just feels wrong in a fighting game.
Except that Dragon Ball FighterZ does all that and makes it work and feel right.
Yeah, it looks really good from that E3 trailer.
It's got the same kind of over-the-topness with all the teleporting and flying and all that stuff, but they've actually managed to work that into the game systems quite well.
Oh, that's good.
Okay, that'll be good. To make it feels right. It's not just like...
It feels like if Arc System Works made a Marvel vs. Capcom game.
Yeah, I mean, Arc System Works does the over-the-top thing in a very clever way. Guilty Gear is way over the top, but it never feels dull as a result, because I do agree that, like, most of those Dragon Ball games go so over the top they end up being boring, which is ironic, but it happens. And I think Arc System Works knows how to do their stuff, and I'm pretty sure that this one will be good. Speaking of, is there a new Persona Arena game? Did I see that announced, or was that mentioned?
I don't remember this.
But maybe
if it's happening, then
I might have been dreaming, but
you might have been.
Might have been a nice dream, but I'm sure I saw something mentioned about a new Persona fighting game in the works. I thought it was about the same time they announced the new dancing game, but I might have been misled there, because that was a good fighting game, and it's been a while since we had that one.
I only find rumors saying that they would like to make Persona 5 Arena.
Ah, that's a pity. Yeah, I really like that fighting game. That was a good one, especially the second one, because Risei was a playable character. And that's the only time she's ever been a playable character in a Persona game, which is funny. They are definitely making the...
There was a dungeon crawler.
There is definitely a dungeon crawler in the works, a new Persona Q, which is cool.
Yeah. But that's not a fighting game, and we're talking about fighting games.
It is. We are talking about fighting games.
There's Street Fighter V Arcade Edition, which is still weird to me to have an arcade edition of a game that, as far as I know, never came out in arcade.
It would have been out in arcade in Japan, right?
I didn't see it.
I've never seen it.
I don't think it did.
Pretty sure it didn't. But then Street Fighter has this thing where it has to have 20 different versions of every numbered game, and it's impossible to keep up with them all. None of them are any good anyway. I don't like that series at all.
They're better than Dead or Alive, at least.
No, they're not. Dead
or Alive. Oh, it begins.
How can it be any better?
I'm sorry, but Street Fighter has one good fighting character, and that's Sakura, and none of the others are any good at all. And Dead or Alive has pretty much endless good characters and just one
and
or two.
And Dead or Alive is objectively better because your characters can get a tan. Well, Extreme 3 anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
And you can get suntan lines in that game.
Yeah, that's a very, very graphically advanced engine. So Street Fighter doesn't have that.
That makes the fighting systems really work very well.
Yeah. You can look good while you're kicking butt. That's the whole point.
There's also... I can't remember the name of it. There's that one on Switch?
Which one is
Switch? The game.
Oh, is it
coming out next year?
The Brawler?
Oh, yeah, the one that takes the characters from, like, Princess Knight. Knight is a Princess Knight? No, that's the anime.
Code of Princess?
Yeah, that's one. So it's got characters from a bunch of Nicolas games. Is what? That right?
I can't remember what they're called, though.
It's a crossover game with like six or seven kind of uber niche franchises. Cave Story is another one. It throws them all together into Blade, it looks really good.
Blade Strangers, it's called.
Yes, that's the one. That'll be good. I'm looking forward to that. We can't miss Disgaea. Dissidia is also getting released next year.
Which
should be good. I mean, putting aside the fact that they picked all the bad characters from Final Fantasy series and didn't put any of the good ones in. The actual fighting game engine for that one is really good. I really enjoy it. It's much more, I guess, strategic and tactical than most fighting games, and that works for me. There's not so much combos to learn as you just need to, you know, pick the right moments to make attacks and make good use of the terrain and stuff. So
still have that crazy user interface that has like 20,000 bars and numbers.
Yeah, that's the one.
Yeah.
It all makes sense. Like I don't know.
It doesn't make sense.
I don't think they would fix it.
It makes sense. It makes a whole lot of sense. I know a lot of people find it busy and stuff, but I actually
I don't know.
I played the game quite a bit in the arcades in Japan, and even in Japanese and my imperfect Japanese, I made sense of what was going on. So I'm pretty sure I like this one. I might be the only one playing, which would make it awkward online, but I'm looking forward to it.
You like what you like, you know.
We just need to get some DLC for Riku and Ash and
that's not good enough.
Yuna, Vanille.
They're gonna put more Final Fantasy 15 characters in before they.
Yeah, they'll put on like a whole car crew.
Yeah.
Well, that's all right. Sydney and Iris would be cool, but
they're definitely not gonna put in any of the cool female characters.
But you might see them in Tekken 7. You might see them in Tekken 7.
That would.
But I'd have to play Tekken 7.
Yeah, Tekken. They should put them in Pokken Tournament. That'd be all right.
What?
That's trainers. Yeah,
Pikachu versus Lunafreya. That would be perfect.
Yeah, it's gonna be the Luchador Pikachu as well versus Lunafreya. Oh, Pokken. Why don't we talk about Pokken more? Pokken is a great fighting game, everyone.
Well, we would talk about Pokken, but we're actually going to some music now.
What music are we going to, Matt?
Yeah, is it Pokken music?
It's not Pokken music. But it is Bayonetta, so it is, you know, you'll like it.
Yeah. I will.
It's Fly Me to the Moon from the original Bayonetta, which is...
My mum.
Probably, yeah. It's a great bit of music too, and yeah, it was kind of the introduction I think to a lot of people to Bayonetta, because yeah, it was one of the first scenes I remember from the game, and it had this great soundtrack, and it really set the tone for the entire series after that. So yeah, enjoy, and we'll be back soon.
Cheap. last call. No more shots from me, Bayonetta.
And welcome back. Okay, so for the last section of the podcast this week, we're going to talk about dead franchises that we would like to see come back zombie-like into the modern era and get new games and or really good quality HD remasters. I don't care which, I just want to play them again, basically. And I'm going to start with the obvious one that anybody with any taste whatsoever would love to see a new game for. Chocobo Dungeon.
Woo!
Yeah. That's when Rogue... That's a roguelike that is an actual roguelike, not this nonsense that indie developers call roguelikes these days. It's a real one, and it was really great. It was actually when I got a Wii, I got it quite late, and the first game I actually bought for it was Chocobo Dungeon, and I actually bought it secondhand for like $70 or something. For some reason, EB Games was ripping me off with it, but I saw the cover and it was like a chocobo and it was so cute and I just had to buy it and play it and I loved it. And I think I spent I played it through a couple of times, probably spent over 100 hours playing the game, and it's great. It's really good and I want to see a new one.
Was it made by the guys who do the Mystery Dungeon games?
Yeah.
No, it was made by... Who was it made by?
I'm pretty sure it was the Mystery Dungeon games. It was a chocobo spin off of it.
No, that's Spike Chunsoft. They didn't make that one for sure. Spike Chunsoft makes the Mystery Dungeon games, but it is called a Mystery Dungeon game, but it isn't actually done by them.
Weird. It's done by Hand, who did...
Yes, that's the one, Hand. Yes, yes.
Who did that Kingdom... Wait, what?
They did something recently, didn't they? I don't know.
They did Fantasy Light. Wait, what? They did Fantasy Light.
Yes. Yeah. So they're not actually owned by Square Enix. They're an independent.
I think I'm wrong. I'm almost definitely wrong on this one.
Okay, now I'm going to have to do a Google search.
Why do I think it's made by Jupiter? No, it's by Hand. It's by Hand.
It is. Hand definitely made Chocobo Mystery Dungeon. The Final Fantasy Fables games... for the DS, which also had Chocobo in them. Yeah, Final Fantasy Fables on the DS was done by them. They've made some Tamagotchi games, who did the port of Flower, Sun, and Rain to the DS. Harvest Moon, My Little Shop for Marvelous. Kingdom Hearts 358/2 Days for the DS. So
that is a very underrated game.
Yeah, they do a lot of odd things, I guess. And well, they did for Bandai Namco on the 3DS as well. They were meant to be doing Chocobo Racing DS. Does anybody 3D? Sorry, does anybody remember that one? It was announced as a 3DS. Well, it was announced when they were just announcing the 3DS was in development way back.
And then it got canned,
which was very upsetting. Yes, it was very upsetting. So, yeah, Hand's been around for a long time. They're still around, so I guess there is a chance that they might get to make another Chocobo Dungeon, and that would be good on the Switch. Yeah. I'd love to have Chocobo with me on the go.
Yeah, just from reading up, because you made me curious, so it is part of the Mystery Dungeon series?
Right.
Even though it's not developed by Chunsoft, it's licensed from them, and so is a game called Torneko, The Last Hope,
which crap,
apparently is a mystery dungeon type dungeon crawler with Torneko from Dragon Quest IV.
Okay.
Everyone's least favorite Dragon Quest character.
That's the one that we saw for the PlayStation, wasn't it? We were all like, what the hell is this game?
No one's ever seen this,
We were all like, we wanted to check it out then, so there you go. So
I would like to see a return of Torneko. A new Torneko game.
Torneko's Great Adventure. Interesting.
Yeah. So moving on from Mystery Dungeon games, because we all agree on Chocobo, the other one I wanted to mention today was Kingsfield. I'd love to see Kingsfield come back. that was From Software before From Software was cool. And it was kind of, it was an RPG, very difficult RPG, and it's seen as kind of the spiritual predecessor to the Souls games. And yeah, the last one from Kingsfield was on the PlayStation 2, Kingsfield 4, and that was one of my favorite games of all time, and I would love to see that series come back, or even just port Kingsfield 4 as a HD, you know, upscaled thing to the PS2 classics of the PS4. That'd do me. Anything. I just want to play that game again.
Was it a From Software game?
It was.
Yeah.
Yep. So From Software got their start, I believe, making Kingsfield games. The first one was on the PS1, and that might have been From Software's first game, I want to say. Possibly not, but close to. It was certainly the one that kind of put the developer on the map, and then they went on to make another three of those. A couple of GameCube games, I don't know if anyone remembers them, called Lost Kingdoms, which were kind of collectible card games slash action games. A little bit like the first Knights of Azure, actually, the way they played. And then, yeah, obviously they hit the big time with Demon's Souls and haven't looked back since, so.
That's something to look up. From Software also made the Armored Core games.
Oh, that's right. Yes, they were also known for Armored Core back in the day. They were good. They were good. Yes, it should.
They should bring that back, but in a Dark Souls kind of style, where it's like a Dark Souls game, but you're a controller giant mech.
That would be so good.
That would be really cool. A nightmare. I can't even imagine.
It would be a nightmare, but you'd love it, Ginny. You'd play it every minute of every day. Yeah,
that would be
their announcement.
A Dark Souls style game with no mobility because you're a big tank.
Just to make things extra hard. Well, the guy did say, Miyazaki did say he wanted to do a science fiction Souls game. So you never know. It might just be Armored Core Souls Edition.
Armored Souls.
Okay. Ginny, what would you like to see come back from the good old days, dead franchises, all that?
This is probably a little younger than the other titles that you've mentioned, but Tai the Tasmanian Tiger was real cool. That was my jam when I was growing up.
It was a good game, wasn't it?
It was really good. I just don't know what it is. Like, it was sort of like, because I played that when I was playing around the time when I think the Rayman game on the DS was out as well. And it was just, I could never click with Rayman the way I clicked with Tai the Tasmanian Tiger. I don't know if it was because of the premise of Tai, like the, because at the time I hadn't actually moved to Australia yet. I was like a kid growing up in an Asian country. And I was like, Australia looks so dope. And all I knew about Australia was playing Tai the Tasmanian Tiger. And I'm like, they've got Gundams over there. Like, goddamn, I need to move to Australia. But it was just really weird. And it was just that weird combination of games of time where it was like a talking animal, a talking humanoid animal doing crazy stuff. So I guess kind of in the vein of like, what's the other game? Like kind of like in the vein of Crash Bandicoot and those animal themed or like animal humanoid platformers at the time, where they just
such a wave. You had like Jack and Ratchet and Clank and like Tack and just
it was a good time. I mean, I really liked the Donald Duck one that came out at the same time. Going Quackers, that was a really good fun.
I've never heard of that, but that's brilliant. I'm gonna play it right now.
It was great. Like it was very Crash Bandicoot lighting that was 3D platformer, but basically linear. Donald Duck would get very pissed off if he got hit by something. And it was great. Donald's a very special character.
I should play that because I think he's the most useless Kingdom Hearts character. And I would love to make him suffer a bit if I play that platformer.
It's not unfortunate.
How can you be mad at a guy who kills you?
Poor Donald.
Donald runs off and dies 9 out of 10 times. Like, he can't heal me if he's dead.
That's true.
Yeah, so unfortunate. Donald's such a special character. And back in the day, he was in so many good games. And then now all he does is get shoved into crappy Kingdom Hearts games. And it's just no fun anymore. They've ruined Donald. Square Enix.
I think now is a good time, though, for like the revival of games like that, like Tai and Dexter and Jack and Crash Bandicoot and Ratchet and Clank and stuff. Like, now is the perfect time, I guess.
Well, you'd have
those games are being revived and those weird animatronic humanoid main characters.
You'd have to look at the success of Crash and say, I can only imagine the license holders for all these old games would be looking at the success of Crash and going, you know, we want to get a piece of that.
Yeah.
Because that game was huge, aside from Call of Duty.
Yeah, really hitting that nostalgia wave at this point, like, because everyone's still fixated on trying to remake Rare games and N64 games. And like, give it a few more years and everyone's going to be like, I grew up playing Tyler Tethman Tiger and, like, Blinks the Cat and, like, Sly Cooper and stuff, and then they're going to remake all of them.
Yeah, absolutely. As long as they do a better job than they did with Bubsy.
Bubsy...
Damn it, Matt, you took my joke away from me.
Bubsy, he's the unwanted child in the era. Like, no one cares about Bubsy.
I've never even heard of Bubsy until this new game, which is, like...
apparently awful.
Yeah.
You think Bubsy is bad? Wait till you see the remake of Gix. Does anybody remember Gix?
Yeah, I remember Gix.
Yeah, that,
Gix the Gecko?
Gex are wildly inappropriate.
Yeah, that... Because Gex was made by Eidos, which is now owned by Square Enix. And this is going back like a couple of years when they first launched Square Enix Collective. They said that would...
Oh, that's right, they are doing
it. If anybody wanted to make a Gex game, they would be open to licensing that out to indie devs.
Yes, that's right. I remember that, and I don't think anybody's taken them up on it.
Yeah,
that shows you how popular Gex is. Okay, throw it even further.
If anyone was going to make a good Gex game, I would trust.
Yeah, going even more obscure, Chameleon Twist. Anyone remember that one?
No.
Where are these games coming from?
Chameleon Twist.
I think Matt's just making stuff up now.
No, two games. Two games on the N64. There were two 3D platforms.
He's just pulling animal names out of a hat and pretending.
He would love this. There's an animal in it.
Oh, does anyone remember playing Barracuda Badger? That was my.
Okay, it's apparently real. I looked it up.
It is real.
It's real.
It's Sunsoft.
So is Barracuda Badger.
Chameleon Twist 2, the video game. Bro, this came out the year my brother was born.
Oh, God. It wasn't great, I must admit, but...
Do you know what animal platformers remind me of? Do you remember Konami did the Klonoa games?
Ooh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Those are good games.
Yeah, they should come back too. Actually, it says here that they were talking about doing a new one in 2014, so might take a while, but...
Yeah, the problem is that if Konami made a new Klonoa game now, it would be terrible.
Yeah.
Well, it might not be terrible, but... That.
Yeah.
But Konami wouldn't make it at all unless it was a pachinko game, so...
Yeah, they'd get Mercury Steam to make it, and it'd be bad.
Wait, no, I mean, it's by Namco. It's not by Konami.
Well, the last Klonoa game was an action RPG, wasn't it?
Was it?
So, wait, what? Sorry.
Yeah, they released Klonoa Heroes. Klonoa Heroes was an action RPG, I'm pretty sure. It was on the GBA.
Oh.
Hmm. And there was an Asia.
Oh, yeah, no, you're right. And it's Namco, not Konami.
I think it was an Asia-only release, because we definitely got it in Singapore. But,
So, yeah, there you go. Lots and lots of animal games can come back.
The way you say that is so disdainful. Like,
No.
It's a dark period in all of our lives.
we all grew up loving those games, and yeah, it'd be good to see them come back.
Oh, Spyro. Sorry. Spyro, before I get segued into the music again. Spyro, we need Spyro.
Unfortunately, Spyro is part of the toys games things.
They made Skylanders out of him, and now he's deep in the ground.
They ruined him. No, also, Spyro is a bit unrealistic for me. Dragon, and all these other games are based in real animals, but you know,
which is a grab Ginny's family from this podcast. So her mother's Bayonetta, her father is Dante, and her son is Spyro.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
He's just, you're like, oh, a dragon with a mohawk is too unrealistic for you, apparently.
Well, compared to a chameleon,
definitely.
Yeah.
But speaking of Bayonetta being Ginny's mum, I did a bit of just as a complete distraction. I looked her up searched on Twitter, and apparently Bayonetta is my mum is a very like common take.
There you go.
Ginny isn't weird, and I formally apologize.
Bayonetta has mothered tons of sad Asian children around the world.
Just tweet that directly at Hideki Kamiya and see what he says.
He's gonna block me.
I don't want to get blocked. Block
me. He blocks everyone. Like, if you at him about anything, he just blocks you straight away.
Okay, so since we're doing this Twitter thing,
back on topic, the franchise that I want to see come back is Elite Beat Agents.
Yeah, that was a good one back in the day.
I'm sure if anyone remembers that.
That it was a good one. Game. Osu games? Or like Os, how you pronounce it?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, Osu. That's right.
Yeah, they're the same games. Or
it's the same series, but...
Yeah.
Elite Beat Agents was the Western version, because I thought it would appeal more with songs that people in the West were familiar with.
It would be good to see it come back so they can actually put some, you know, high quality music into it, because obviously it was
not the weird covers,
it was kind of cheap midis, and the gameplay deserved better than that, I think. So yeah, that would be good. I'd like to see that game come back. Any more rhythm games is always a good thing, so
yeah, amen.
Definitely. Speaking of rhythm games, it'd be good to see come back. It'd be good to see more Hatsune Miku. It's been way too long since there was the last Hatsune Miku game.
It's not a dead franchise. What do you mean?
It's close enough to as far as I'm concerned. It's been like a whole year since the last one, it's ridiculous. We need a new one. It's how Nintendo Switch can possibly be this popular without a Miku game on it? I don't know. It's just, it's wrong.
Zelda.
Yeah, you know, exactly. It doesn't have Hatsune Miku, so it's just a mystery how it's popular.
Does Hatsune Miku have a, like, weird celestial motorbike?
Yeah.
She doesn't. That's a good point.
Does she have, like, a really buff shark boyfriend?
Yeah, they need to have more motorbikes in all games, I think.
More motorbikes.
Yeah.
I don't think I'm ever going to get over that DLC. I can't believe it. You know, one piece of DLC manages to ruin an entire game, but there you go.
What? Oh my, come on.
It's lame. It's so lame.
Is it not the same motorbike from, what's it called? Mario Kart?
Do you know what he rode in Mario Kart?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is it the same motorbike?
It's the same motorbike. It's called continuity for the franchise. Okay?
Yeah.
He rides a motorbike in this game, he rides a motorbike in all of our games.
Yeah, exactly.
Swords, sorcery, and motorbikes. Yeah, it really...
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I've been asleep for 100 years thing at the start, that probably was when you should have just suspended your belief. Like, I mean...
Well, he's still...
And anyway, the motorbike does look like a horse. So...
Yeah, and he's got, like, a buff shark boyfriend. Motorbike. So that's the other bit that you would have been like, whoa, about.
You don't have a buff shark boyfriend in real life, Ginny?
No, I don't.
Oh.
So it's not like your cousin?
No, he's definitely not my cousin. Oh my god. Oh, Jesus. I can't believe what we've done. We've spawned a new DDNet meme now.
And on that note, speaking of dev franchises, we'll finish the week's music off with something from Mega Man, who was a dead franchise until recently when they announced they're doing a new one. Capcom finally did something right. And we've got Dr. Wily's Castle from Mega Man 2 to finish the podcast off. Thanks for listening, everybody. And we'll see you at the next one.